more from Round the Horn next week, and tomorrow it's The Goon Show at the same time.
This weekend, BBC Radio 4 Extra is listening to Les.
And I just remember laughing my head off going, that's brilliant, that.
He had a terrific sense of the joy of comedy.
A whole fresh, vibrant vocabulary, describing someone with a face like a bag of chisels.
He could make a walk down the street into an odyssey.
This is like the whole history of music hall and variety entertainment rolled into one human being.
A good comedian gets applause. A great comedian like Les Dawson is loved.
Join Ray Peacock and a host of special guests as we celebrate the wonderful work of Les Dawson. Listening to Les, Saturday morning at 9 and again in the evening at 7 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
The digital station on radio, TV and online. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
And we raise a laugh with Ted Ray and Peter Sellers now in comedy from 1949.
Raise a laugh, raise a laugh. When you're feeling sad and blue, just raise a laugh and soon you'll find you're losing that frown. A smile will spread all over the town. Don't give in, try and win. Don't be like a passport photograph. Come on and meet Ted Ray. He'll chase your troubles away.
And raise a laugh.
Ted Ray.
Hello, boys and girls, hello. Well, it was a wonderful night for the command performance. I was going in the stage door and I heard two white boys talking. One said to the other, are you flogging any tickets for this show, Charlie? And the other fellow said, nah, this show's no good. It's coming off tomorrow. My brother's in the profession, you know. Had to give it up, unfortunately. He was in the repertory company that produced all Edgar Wallace's plays. Fortnight ago, he got a black eye in the fight scene in On the Spot. Yes, very unfortunate. The next week, he got knifed in the nightclub scene in The Squeaker. So he packed it up and started working in a laundry. Unlucky chap, though, really. He's just lost three fingers in the ringer. Actually, that was the second time that that's happened to him. As a baby, he was very shy and used to go around tied to mother's apron strings till one day she sent the apron to the bag wash. I don't think that's so wonderful myself, but you've got to say something. Of course, you know, the theatre is in our family's blood. My father was an acrobat, dear old dad. How he loved to hear the applause. Loved it. My mother came to see me last week. I said, how's the old man, Ma? She said, I'm afraid he's in hospital, Ted, dear. Last week during the storm, he went up on the roof to fix some tiles and a flash of lightning blew him off. Luckily, he fell on a chap with an umbrella up. He was only dazed. I said, but just now you said he was in hospital. She said, he is. When he got up, she said there was a loud clap of thunder. You know what your father was? He went back up again and did an encore. Have you seen the new British films? Lovely. At the beginning, instead of a man beating a gong, a bank manager comes out and hits J. Arthur Rank over the back of the neck with a mallet. At the moment, I'm rather busy myself. I'm looking for a new house. You know, the one we're in at present is overrun with mice. Not that I object to a few mice, but when they go up the road and bring their friends to watch the television, that's too much. It's like a meeting of the water rats. Of course, they're not building houses like they used to, you know. A friend of mine bought a brand new house with a built-in garage on the Great North Road. On Guy Fawkes night, he nailed a Catherine wheel to the front door and lit it. He sent me a wire today. Arrived safely, please flog car, send cash, care of GPO Glasgow. See you later, folks.
New sweetheart. dress, an Italian maid was deep in distress as the street she strayed, searching in every part for her false sweetheart and his ice cream cart. Her English was bad, it cannot be denied, and so to herself this poor maiden she cried. Oh, Antonio, he's gone away and left me all alone without my one and only honey bow. Sitting there at home beside the telephone and fighting for my Tonio. I want to meet him with his new sweetheart. Then up will go Antonio and his ice cream cart. Then up will go Antonio and his ice cream cart.
Well, thank you, Bosun Bells. Next week, the boys and girls will sing a little song entitled "It May Be Bread and Butter to You, But It's Only Peanuts to Strachey." Isn't it lovely these cold winter evenings to sit in front of the electric fire, doing your crosswords and toasting your toes? Nothing could interfere with that, could it? Couldn't it? All of a sudden there's a power cut. But as long as you're happily married, well, who cares about chilblains anyway? Kitty, come on, darling. Come and sit by the fire.
Now, just a minute, dear. I'm brushing my hair.
Well, give it to me, dear. I'll shake it out the window.
Oh. Will you stop it, Ted?
Come on, give us a kiss, dear. Come on.
Ted, will you please stop it, darling?
But why not? I'm happy, dear. I'm pleasant. I'm gay. I'm in a good mood,
yes,
darling.
Yes, aren't you? You're... My darling, you weren't in a very good mood this morning.
Yes, but I feel much more like I do now than I did this morning. I'm in the mood for almost anything, dear. Almost anything.
Yes. Well, then, Ted, darling, could you... sort of let me have an extra pound for the housekeeping money?
Almost anything, dear. What a pity you picked on the wrong thing.
But, Ted, I'm short of money.
So is the country, dear.
But I only want a pound, and you said you were in a good mood.
Well, you can't have both, darling. What do you want, a pound or a good mood?
Well, naturally, I want you to be happy, darling.
That's the girl. I knew you'd forget all about it.
But, Ted, I need the pound.
What for?
Because I spent a pound today, and I've got nothing left.
But what did you spend the money on today?
Well, there were 4 pounds of horse meat.
Horse meat? Are you feeding us on horse meat?
Well, no, dear.
Well, why the...
Then I brought a curry comb, a wire brush, and 12 condition powders.
Well, who were they for, Nelson? Let him go to the doctors like everyone else.
Oh, they're not for Nelson.
He's got a shilling. They're not for Nelson, eh?
No.
Well, don't tell me that Indian prince has moved his racehorses down here.
No. Ted, darling.
Huh?
How would you like a nice little pet?
This is a fine time to get romantic. You sit on the settee and wait until the mood returns.
Oh, no, stupid. I mean a real pet.
Now, listen, you crazy wife. Don't you tell me you've bought Betty Grable and locked her in the attic.
No, darling.
Well, what are you talking about? Give me a clue.
Well, I've got a little dog now.
Yeah, we're going to the dogs, all right. You've what?
I've got a dog, dear.
Now the dogs are coming to us. Well, where is it?
Well, I put it in the...
Where is it?
Nelson.
Yes, sis?
Bring in the dog, Nelson.
Here it is, Teddy boy. Ooh, it's lovely and cuddly. I'm going to take it to bed and sleep with it.
Yeah, wait a minute. What about the smell?
Ooh, the dog won't mind. It likes me.
What? That's not a dog. Is that it?
Uh-huh.
It's a ferret with long hair.
That's its breed, dear. It's a Yorkshire Terrier.
Looks more like a hairy rug with legs on.
Oh, look, it likes me. It's licking my fingers.
Why don't you try eating with a knife and fork? 4 pounds of horse meat. That weighs more than a dog.
Well, haven't you ever seen one of these before?
Yeah, yeah. A butcher had one tied to a pole. He was cleaning the windows with it.
It's a pedigree, dear. It has a very long line.
A what?
I say it has a very long line.
What of, lamppost? Oh.
Now, Ted, don't make fun of it.
Fancy getting a dog like that. With all that hair in its eyes, it ought to be in Parliament.
Parliament?
Yeah, can't see where it's going.
Oh.
You speak when you're spoken to.
Oh, isn't it lovely? I think it's trying to talk to me.
Yeah, perhaps it's trying to tell you a shaggy dog story.
Don't you like it, dear?
Like it? I don't even know which end is which. What do you do? Stick a pin in it to see which end barks?
Oh, there now. You see, you've upset it. Come to Mummy, darling.
Yes, go to Mummy, darling.
But don't start kidding yourself. You've got a daddy.
No. Don't be spiteful, Ted. You find that it grows on you.
If a thing like that grew on me, I'd have an operation. What made you get that?
Well, it was such a bargain, darling.
Looks more like... Wait a minute. Bargain? Don't tell me you paid for it.
Well, yes, Ted, dear.
How much?
Well, it's got a pedigree.
How much?
Just look at its tongue.
Just listen to my tongue. How much?
10 guineas, Ted.
10 guineas. Mm-hmm. 10 guineas for a walking lampshade. Oh. Are you mad? Are you mad?
Well, it's very affectionate, Ted.
So are you, but you didn't cost me 10 guineas.
Well, darling, I got it from a lady who was going abroad. Its mother was a champion.
I don't care if she was a beauty queen. 10 guineas is 10 guineas.
Well, Ted, we'll get 10 guineas for each of her puppies.
What?
Yes. And there'll be 6 puppies in each litter.
Listen, if that little thing has 6 puppies, it'll have to split the atom. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Did you say 10 guineas a puppy?
Yes, darling.
Uh-huh. 6 puppies in a litter?
Uh-huh.
How many litters?
3 or 4.
3 to 4, yeah. 6, 10 to 60, 3 or 4 litters. 4 sixties, 240 guineas?
That's right, darling.
Uh-huh. Nice little dog, isn't it? Give it to me, dear. I think it needs stroking.
All right. Here you are, dear.
Oh, oh. Come to Daddy. You're a nice little doggy, aren't you? Yes. And do you have 6 nice little puppies at a time? You do? That's a clever girl.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Ted.
Like it? She's already my best friend, darling. What's her name?
I don't know.
Well, let's look at her collar, if I can find it in the undergrowth. Oh, she grows her own seaweed, doesn't she? Oh, perhaps I'd better change in.
Well, have you found it, dear?
No, dear, I just found 3 or 4 mothballs, that's it. Here we are. Oh, Kitty.
What, darling?
Did you say 6 puppies at a time, dear?
Yes, Ted. Won't that be wonderful?
Wonderful? It'll be a miracle. You know why?
No, why?
The dog's name is Oscar.
Oscar?
That's what it says on its collar. Oh. I can read. Give him to me.
Oh, but Ted, darling, what are you going to do?
Do? I'm packing him up in a basket and taking him to Sir Lawrence Olivier.
Well, what for?
Because he's the only man I know who collects Oscars.
We bring you melody from out of the sky, my brother and I.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob and Alf Pearson. Our melodies this week tell you for the first time the story of 2 lips.
2 lips told me a story, 2 lips before me so divine. I kissed a few lips, but none were true lips, until your 2 lips told me you were mine. I know that new lips could never invite me, could never excite me, believe me, there's none. For I heard 2 lips that whispered love me, those lovely 2 lips of the one I love.
Your two lips are sweet as mint juleps, and they taste like cherry wine. Come on and cuddle up just a little closer and put your two lips next to mine. Two lips told me a story, two lips before me so divine. I've kissed a few lips, but none were true lips until your two lips told me you were mine. I know that new lips could never invite me, could never excite me. Believe me, there's no other lips but your lips, darling. Two lips that whispered love me, those lovely two lips of the one I love. Kiss me sweet, kiss me simple, kiss me on my little dimple. Kiss me sweet, kiss me simple, kiss my little cares away. Kiss me night, kiss me morning, kiss me underneath the awning. Kiss me night, kiss me morning, kiss my little cares away. Make me sigh, make me tremble, make me flutter like a dove. Make me sigh, make me tremble, give me lots and lots of love. Kiss me slow, kiss me dreamy, kiss me every time you see me. Kiss me slow, kiss me dreamy, kiss my little cares away. For two lips told me a story, two lips before me so divine. I've kissed a few, but none were true lips until your two lips told me you were mine. I know that new lips could never invite me, could never excite me. Believe me, there's no other lips but your lips, darling. Two lips that whispered love me, those lovely two lips of the one I love. Two lips of the one.
Now we present Ted Ray as George, the man with a conscience. We find George in the office of his boss, Mr. Rivers, editor of the Daily Bugle.
George?
Yes, Mr. Rivers?
Have you ever heard of an octogenarian?
No, sir, I can't even play the piano.
No, you chump. An octogenarian's 80 years old. And this morning we heard of a woman who is double that age.
What is she, a principal boy in panto?
No. She's 160 today.
She's lucky, isn't she?
Why?
She get a castor oil for nothing.
Now, look here. Never mind that. Listen. Her name is Miss Eisen Olden. And she lives in a big house called Wormwood Crypt.
Yes, sir. I'll creep in, get the story, and creep out. But tell me, where is it?
Well, it's about 5 miles from the village of Little Patient of the Panel. Now, get busy, George. And don't let me down, lad.
Yes, sir. Here I go. Oh, well. Here we are, Conscience. So this is Little Patient on the Panel. Why, the place is deserted.
It looks like a mass meeting of the Liberal Party.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and yet, when the Americans were here, this place was a hive of industry.
Yes, but 3 dentists walked out last week.
What's that got to do with it?
The Yanks have gone.
Ooh. Ooh, what a corny conscience you are. Why, the place isn't even civilized.
Apples are plant, perhaps.
A barrel boy. What are you doing in a place like this?
Aye, well, it's like this, mate. I was flogging me Cox's Pippins in Oxford Street when a copper comes up and moves me on to Camden Town. And another busy comes up and moves me on to Enfield. Before I know where I am, I'm through Cambridge, past Rugby, and I finish up in an hole like this.
An educated man like you.
Yes. Of course, I didn't always do this, you know.
No?
I used to own race horses. Plenty of money in horses.
Oh, yeah.
Then I went into nylons.
Yeah, plenty of money in nylons.
There is. Yeah. Then I went in for boxers.
Oh, there's plenty of money in boxers.
Yes. Yeah. Then I went in for flowers.
Oh, flowers. There's plenty of money in flowers.
Yes, there was.
So you've had to come down to pushing a barrel.
Yes, and I'll tell you for why. The horses started walking, the nylon started running, the boxes started dropping and the flowers started drooping. Apples are fine, pan.
George.
Yes, Conscience?
You're wasting your time. What about Isa Nolden? Find out where she lives. Knock at that door.
Thank you, Conscience. You're quite right. I will.
Hello.
Why, it's a little girl. What's your name?
Jennifer.
Oh. That's a nice name. Is your mummy in?
Yes, but you can't see her now.
Why not?
She's sitting on the settee studying geography.
Studying geography?
Yes, she's learning all about Russia.
How?
Well, she's got her arm round the Polish border.
Where? Oh, dear. Ah, this is no good. I'll try in this cafe, the Swinging Sock.
Call this a cafe? It looks like an upholstered sewer.
Quiet, Conscience. Here's the waitress.
Well, what would you like? Try and get it.
Well, that's very friendly. Could you tell me...
This ain't the Citizens Advice Bureau. Sit down and order.
Yes, I am hungry. I could eat a horse.
Well, you've come to the right place. Now, then, make up your mind. I'm run off my feet.
Well, let's see what you've got. I'll have sausages and mash.
Charlie!
Hello, Ingrid.
Sausages and mash.
Two Cocker Spaniels and a Murphy. Coming up.
Oh, no. Oh, no, thanks. No, I've changed my mind.
Well, what do you want? I'm run off my feet.
Let's see. I'll have hash.
Charlie!
Hello!
He's changed his mind. One hash.
One mystery of life coming up.
Oh, no. No, no, thanks. Not that. I've changed my mind again.
Charlie!
Hello!
Cancel the hash.
Well, there's nothing else. All right, I'll have a kipper.
Charlie!
Hello!
One kipper.
One pong coming up.
Oh, no, no thanks.
I'm sick and tired of you mucking me about. Charlie!
Hello!
This geezer and half mucking me about.
Does he want a thick ear?
Hey, do you want a thick ear?
No, thanks.
Charlie!
Hello!
Cancel the thick ear.
But listen, I'm hungry. Haven't you got anything else? I must have food.
Well, you're too late. You've had your chance. We're closing the calf.
Closing the calf? What for?
We're going out to get something to eat.
Oh, dear, I'll never find Wormwood Crypt.
Then come along with me. I'll be going there myself.
Thanks, Gaffer. You're a happy old chap.
I be. And I do all my own sowing and ploughing.
Well, don't you have any help?
I used to. I had them there land girls down here.
Was that nice?
But I didn't know what to do with them in the daytime. Look, There be Wormwood Crypt.
Thanks, Gaffer. Oh, just a minute.
What?
You've forgotten your yo-yo. Well, here we are at last. I'll knock at the door.
Come in, come in. Oh, welcome to the party. Oh, we're going to have such fun.
You are?
Yes, it's after tea. We're going to throw marshmallows at the vicarage windows.
That'll be nice.
Yes. Have you brought Auntie a present?
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
Oh, dear. Oh, Auntie. Auntie hasn't brought the present.
What's the matter with him?
Take no notice of him, mate. He's a bit peculiar. He thinks he's a greyhound.
Good gracious, a greyhound? I bet he gives you a lot of trouble.
Yes, we've lost pounds betting on him. Now, take off your hat and coat and hang it on that elephant's trunk.
Oh, yes, all right. Now, where's the big party?
In here, you saucebot.
Who are you?
Crystal Jolly Bottle.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm the woman who dusts for the family, and I'll thank you to stop fiddling with me feather duster.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tell me, is old Miss Isa Nolden really 160?
Oh, I don't know. I've only been with her 120 years.
Now, come on, darling, you know. Tell me.
Oh, stop it. Oh, you've pushed me down on me arse stone.
Come on, gorgeous, tell me.
Stop shaking me.
Come on.
Oh, me unmentionables are caught round me scrubbing brush.
Woman, I'll shake it out of you.
Stop kicking me bucket. Oh, you've gone and splashed me quilted knee pads.
I'll keep on till you tell me where Isa Nolden is.
Oh, well, all right then. She's in the library with her brother Cromwell.
Will you come in with me?
Not me.
Why not?
Because I'm one of the ruins that Cromwell knocked about of me.
Good heavens, what's this? An old woman bent double and an old man playing leapfrog over her back.
Over!
What's going on?
Over!
Old lady, why don't you get up?
I can't. I've been bent double like this for 40 years.
No wonder. You've got your suspenders fastened to your ankle socks.
Oh, Auntie, this is the man I was telling you about. He's from the Bugle.
Oh, what a nice young man. I wish he was 90 again.
How do you do?
Have you had some of my birthday cake?
No.
Well, young man, would you like to cut yourself a slice of cake?
Who's she kidding? She's had it.
Quiet, conscience.
Well, you're just in time. Come on, we're all going to the swimming pool in the garden.
Righto.
This is the way.
Here she is.
Good old Isa.
Oh, hip, hip, hooray!
Blimey, look at this lot. Get a load of those bathing costumes. They look like fugitives from Max Sennett.
Well, are we ready?
All ready, Isa.
What are you going to do?
We're all going to push each other into the swimming pool. Ready, Cromwell?
Yes, I'm ready.
Well, then, push Butcher in.
Oh!
Good, good. Now jump in and save him, Cromwell.
Just a minute. What's all this nonsense? I want your story.
Well, you've plenty of time. Now Ironsides push Napoleon in.
All right, Isa.
Good, good. Now, Blucher, you save him.
I don't get all this. What about your statement?
In a minute. And now it's your turn. You push me in.
Push you in?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Oh! Oh, it's cold.
What do I do now?
Hey, come on, you jump in and save me. It's all for the good of the country.
Why?
Because we've all got to keep on saving.
That's all for this week, boys and girls. How that old clock does go round. We'll be with you again next week when once more we'll help you...
Raise a laugh, raise a laugh. Don't be like a passport photograph.
Gloomy days soon will pass. Come on, folks, raise up your glass.
And raise a laugh.
We've been listening to Ted Ray in Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Bob and Alf Pearson, the Bows and the Bells, Fred Yule, Peter Sellers, Patricia Hayes, and Leslie Perrins. The dance orchestra was conducted by Stanley Black. The program written by Eddie McGuire and Ted Ray. Production by George Innes.
And next week, Ted and Kitty will quarrel over her frock at the same time. And tomorrow, Bob and Terry will take a trip down memory lane in Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads.
The 2013 BBC Radio New Comedy Award.
Broadcast on BBC Radio 4 Extra!
Listen again to all the highlights and results from our first heat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harry Skriskan!
Hello, my name's Harry, and I know what you're thinking. I look like a cross between my mum and my dad. I'm actually a physicist, which is great for killing every conversation. I always thought physics was quite a noble endeavour until I saw Andy Murray finally take the men's Wimbledon title. That's when I realised, you know, I've never worked that hard, I've never achieved anything that awesome, so it really inspired me to write a tennis joke. So here we go, tennis joke. I've always wondered where the term love comes from in tennis. I'm convinced it's an old-fashioned misogynistic way to tell female players that they're doing badly, e.g. it's 40 love. Thanks.
Please welcome onto the stage, Dan Fardell!
So when I was 9, I had a goldfish called Goldie, and I loved that fish, and one day, sadly, inevitably, I found poor Goldie floating belly up in his bowl and I was absolutely distraught. I went to my dad in floods of tears and he sat me down and he calmly and patiently explained to me about the cycle of life and death, how it comes to us all in our turn and it's something we shouldn't fear, but we should understand it and eventually try and accept it. And he even explained that was part of the reason they got me, Goldie. But I wasn't happy because I also had a tortoise called Tortoisey. And I said, Dad, what about Tortoisey? Does that mean he's going to die soon as well? My dad said, Son, don't worry about that. Tortoises live for over 150 years. In fact, we had you to teach him about death.
The 2013 BBC Radio New Comedy Award. Catch up with Heat 1 online now at the BBC Radio 4 Extra website.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
If you've ever wondered what the Mr. Men get up to in their spare time, stay with us here on 4 Extra for sketch comedy from The Cowards in a moment. And then a very special passenger will be making the cabin crew act very oddly when we take to the skies with Benedict Cumberbatch at 9:30. And our drama at 10 is the classic Aesop fable of noble deeds, Androcles and the Lion, in an hour. To 2007 now, and comedy that is full of compliments, with The Cowards.
Cowards.
You are so beautiful.
Ah, thank you.
I was talking to Hattie.
Yeah, of course you were.
I'm just taken in by you. Your eyes, your perfect face, your body is a shrine. And
I do my best.
I was talking to Hattie.
Oh, of course you were.
In these 3 weeks we've known each other, I have to tell you that I can't think of anything anymore without you being a part of it. I mean, everywhere my mind wanders, it always ends with you.
You shouldn't have.
Simon, do you have to do the dishes now?
Well, they won't do themselves, William.
I'm trying to have a private moment with Hattie.
Go ahead. I'm not here.
And the thing is, it's like with the two pieces of a two-piece jigsaw that were lost forever, and now, suddenly, when no one was even looking for them, they've been found.
Oh, William, I didn't know you felt that way about me.
Francis, I was clearly talking to Hattie.
Yeah, I know.
Francis, could you possibly read the paper somewhere else?
No, I've sat here.
Well, could you take your feet off the table? They're in Hattie's face.
No, as I say, I've sat like this, so that ain't gonna change.
Fine, fine. So what I'm trying to say to you is I've fallen in love with you, Hattie. Please, don't interrupt. I need to say this. I love you more than I've ever loved anyone, more than I thought I could ever love anyone.
Very nice of you to say so, William.
Michael, please! I'm sorry, Hattie, but Michael's been stood behind you for the past 5 minutes silently putting stuff in your hair.
And you didn't feel a thing!
Brilliant! Brilliant, what a prank! What an absolutely brilliant prank!
Michael, Francis, Simon, please, I need some time alone with Hattie.
That is a great prank, Michael.
She didn't feel a thing! I'm sitting down reading the paper now, but later I'm going to high-five you for that. That is a brilliant, brilliant prank, Michael.
Chris! Do I have shit vestments?
No, I mean, they're a little odd, but I wouldn't call them shit.
Right, see?
I'm sorry, Father Peter, but your vestments are a laughing stock.
No, they're not, they're not!
Please, fathers, can we not argue on the morning of my ordination?
It's not my fault.
No, it's the fault of his thick parish.
Pardon?
I'm saying you preached to a parish full of morons.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't stand this. I think I'm going to go and blow my lid!
Why'd you have to wind him up?
Chris, it's called having a laugh. He's so insecure about his priesthood.
I'm too nervous. Tell me honestly, do you think Bishop Fry hates me?
No? Why?
I don't know, I always get the impression he's praying about me behind my back.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And that thing he does with his S's.
What, his lisp?
Yeah.
He does that to everyone, Chris.
Oh, good.
Look, Chris, tell me to go bother a deacon.
Yeah, yeah.
But, are you having doubts about becoming a priest?
Is it that obvious?
I saw you sneering at the font earlier on, Chris.
I don't even know I'm doing it now.
Shh.
See, hates me. He wouldn't even talk to me.
He hates everyone.
I've just remembered what it was I was going to say. Father Paul, are you still up for bivouacking?
Of course, Bishop Fry, yes. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Great. I'll see you after the service.
Why wasn't I invited to go bivouacking with Bishop Fry?
It's your ordination,
so
Chris.
So why are you going?
He asked me.
You could have said no.
To the bishop?
Yes.
Yes, very shrewd career move, I don't think. Look, Chris, you won't miss us. If it's anything like my ordination, you'll be far too busy dealing with eager parishioners to notice a few absent clergymen.
Well, I hope so. I just don't know if I can go through with it.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to give you the talk Fry gave me. In your deepest heart of hearts, do you love